Sunday the 12th of February 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Purpose Driven Life. Sermon title, Made for God's Family, Part 1. Bible reading, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
Today's reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. Warning to pay attention. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Jesus made like his brothers. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man that you care for him? You made a little lower than the angels, you crowned him with glory and honour, and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honour because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing so many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here I am and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds power over death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of their death. This is the word of the Lord.
No, it's not going to work. Does everybody know the song? One or two can hear it. We are family. Let's do it, our own version. I got all my sisters and me. Yeah, here we go. Now, there we are.
We are family.
Yeah.
I got all my sisters and me.
Folks, we're working through Rick Warren's Purpose Driven Life. This is the DVD for it. This is the new cover. It looks like that now. I've only got the old cover, but it looks like that. And that's the new cover. And we've already looked at the fact that we're not here for our purposes. We're made by God for God's pleasure and not our own. And now we're going to move on to the fact that we're made for God's family. We are family. I've got all my sisters with me. I wonder if you feel as if we are a family here in St. Chad's Church. I hope you do, because I think that we are. I think that we are a really good family. And I know that Joy was touched by the support of the church family on the passing of her mum, Dorothy. Pauline would say the same on the passing of Audrey. We support each other. We love each other. We come together as well, journey with each other, and of course learn together. And you might say, well, that's all very well, Martin, but when I look around at the people around me, we're a bit of an odd bunch, aren't we? Just have a look around, see how odd we are. We're an odd bunch, aren't we? And of course we are, that's the point. See, you don't get to choose your earthly family. You don't get to choose your earthly family. And goodness me, most earthly families have got some very odd people in them, haven't they? I know what you're thinking. I wonder who's the odd one in your family, Martin. Well, I can tell you straight away, Julie. We haven't got a chance of choosing our own spiritual family, have we? But in a sense, that's the point. And there's a recurring theme going on in Rick Warren's book. Life is not about us. Do you remember week one? Life is not about us. We're made by God for God. And sure enough, his church isn't about us either. What we want, who we like, We don't go out and say, I tell you what, let's start another family. I've got a family, that's enough for me. One family's plenty for me. Just read the Bible, though. See, Jesus says, you didn't choose me. He said, I chose you, John 15. I chose you to be a part of the family. I've called you together, odd people as you are. Rick Warren says that we're chosen to be a part of God's family. And if you read the Bible, the whole thing is a story about God building this family that he loves and who love him, a family that will honour him above all of the world, a family who, through the work of Jesus on the cross, a family who he's going to invite to reign with him forever in eternity. I love the Message rendition of Ephesians 1 and verse 5. Long ago he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because God is love. His very nature is relational. He didn't need a family. He's already got a family, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, wafting around like eggs and sugar and butter in a mixing bowl. They've already got something sweet. He didn't need to make us. He wanted to make us. Look at the person next to you. Look at the person next to you. Who's that? Can you believe God wanted to make them? I'm only joking. But sometimes my children look at me a bit like that, I have to say. But there we go. But here's the thing. Being born into the world doesn't necessarily make you a child of God. Rick Warren says this, every human was created by God, but not every human is a child of God. I believe that fully. I believe that every person walking this earth can be a child of God. I believe that anyone on this planet who gives their life to Jesus Christ, who trusts him, has faith in him, believes in his promises, I believe that God will become their father immediately. But it is a thing of choice. Jesus said it even more poignantly than that. He said, truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless you are born of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And it's a big family. It includes all believers, past, present and future. Lots and lots of people. Anyone, whosoever. What an invitation that is. Anyone who calls on his name is invited in. Sinner or saint, rich or poor, we're all invited. And it's a different sort of family, says Rick Warren. I know I take the mick out of my family, Julie and Charlotte and SJ become the butt of my jokes, but in a sense that's my job. But here's the thing, I'm really lucky. Because I've got a great family. I love them dearly and they love me. But it's not the same in every family, says Rick Warren. He says this, our families on earth are wonderful gifts from God. But they're temporary. And they're fragile. And often they're broken by things. Things like divorce and distance and growing old. And inevitably broken by death. But he says of our spiritual family, it's a far stronger union. Our spiritual family is more permanent. It's a relationship that's going to continue right throughout eternity. And it's where we see the Trinity working together. Jesus calls us. By his words, by his action, by his work on the cross, he calls us into that family. God the Father, of course, fathers us. And the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. He works within us, cleansing us, drawing us closer to God. Because the grace of God is that he calls us as sinners while we were still far off, said Paul. And God is holy. And so you and I have got to be made holy, and that journey begins now. We begin to start to be, remember I talk about that jagged rock being smoothed by the waves on the seashore. We begin to get smoothed out now. We don't wait for heaven. Chosen by God and changed by God. And that's why it's a choice for us, because we have to allow God to change us. More than that, I genuinely believe we have to want God to change us. And he does. He'll change us from glory into glory. And Warren says it's the highest honour, it's the greatest privilege, nothing else can come close to it. And when we feel unloved or unimportant or insecure, we've got to remember we're in the family of God. And actually, all those things are the exact opposite of the truth, because the truth is we are loved. We are important. We're cherished in heaven. And of course, that's part of the church, because we're loved so deeply, we're called to love others deeply. And it's a real purpose of the church, Warren says. That's why we're given a whole lifetime to learn it. Paul understood it fully. He wrote a whole chapter on love, didn't he? 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, then I'm just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And Warren is right. So often we treat each other as something that we squeeze into our diaries, don't we? I'm going to find time for my children. I'll find time for my husband or wife. And that's a good thing to do, Julie and I, diary time. Date nights and stuff when it's just me and her going out for a meal away, because that keeps our marriage strong. But, says Warren, it gives the impression that our relationships are just another part of our lives, along with the whole host of other things that has to get squeezed into a diary. And God is saying that relationship is everything that life is about. Our relationships are the most important things in the world. All of the commandments are about relationship. The Ten Commandments given to Moses on Mount Sinai are all about loving God and loving each other. And the trouble is, when our diaries become full, the first thing that goes is the time for the people that we love most, isn't it? Time for those relationships. We become preoccupied with making a living or doing our work or paying our bills or accomplishing our goals. And yet God says, time for other people. Relationships is the most important thing you will ever have in the whole of your life. And here's just a place to stop. Rick Warren says this. He says, when people come to their deathbed, he says, and he's visited thousands, of course, when people come to their deathbed, he said, they never ask for a copy of their bank balance. They never ask for the golf trophy that they won once, or the conservatory that they built 20 years ago and it's still standing. Can I see a picture of that, please? He says, what they ask for is the people that they love and who love them back. And what they scramble around trying to do is find reconciliation with those that they've fallen out with across the years. And Rick Warren implores us this: don't leave it to your deathbed until you realise relationships are the most important things in your life. Your children, your husbands, your wives, your brothers, your sisters, your mums, your dads. Work at it hard, he says. And work also equally hard at building our church family here, because it's the most important family. It's hard. Being in church is hard. Warren says this: it may seem easier to be a Christian when no one else is around to frustrate your preferences. I love that. I think he's hit the nail right on the head with that. It may seem easier to be a Christian when no one else is around to frustrate your preferences, what you like. But he says, that's a false and an untested holiness. Isolation breeds deceitfulness, because alone we can fool ourselves that we are mature Christians. But a mature Christian is the one who struggles with and comes out loving the person who is sat four pews away from them. The Bible is full of phrases like built together, put together, held together, made for one another, when it's talking about Christ's church, Christ's family. We're commanded to love one another, pray for each other, bear with, serve, greet, teach, admonish, honour, accept, forgive, submit to one another. You can't do that in isolation. You can only do that when you come together as church. And actually, God places us with people who are different to us so that we can learn to do those things really well. It's part of the test, it's part of the growth. Knowing that he was going to betray him, Jesus stooped and washed Judas's feet. What an amazing act of grace that is. Maybe we need to get a little more foot washing going on in our churches these days. It's no good coming along to church and keeping ourselves to ourselves, says Rick Warren. We've got to mix in with people in the activities of the church if we want to build spiritual muscle. Love can't be learned alone. We're to be surrounded by people, irritating, imperfect and frustrating people. Because it's only then can we learn to love fully. We're not here for us. We're here for God. And God's church isn't about us. It's about God. And God is love. And we need to remember that, says Warren. That's why we talk of sacrifice in church circles so often. Because I have to put me down if I'm going to embrace you. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave. He sacrificed. God so loved the world that he stopped thinking about himself and he started thinking about everybody else in the world. And he gave the best thing that he had. He gave his only son, Jesus Christ, for you and for me. Love means giving up our preferences, our comfort, our security, our money, our energy, whatever it is, for other people. And the reason God is so intent on us doing this is because he wants his family to be known for love. Above all else, above other things. Jesus said it's our love for each other, not our knowledge or our wisdom or our wealth. Our love in here for each other is going to convict the world out there. Let's do a little quiz. I think we've got something coming up. So here we go. A new commandment I give unto you, that you what? That you love one another. Let's have that. As I have loved you, that also you love one another. Does anybody know the next bit?
So that all men will know you're my disciples.
By this, all the people out there are going to know that you are in the family of God. And they're going to want to come and join that family because they see how great it is. Three things very quickly, friends. Three things very quickly about church and the benefits of church for you and for me. And the first thing is that church is a place to belong.
Nothing feels the same. I need an anchor that never lets go. I need someone to call, to hear a voice I know. Oh, something that feels like home. Something that feels like home.
My voice is my password.
Amazing technology today, isn't it? Anybody got one of those phones? One of those phones that you work with your thumb or your fingerprint or something? Does it work? Mine never works. I put my fingerprint in like 5 or 6 times. Never works. I have to always put the PIN number in. It's a nightmare. Anyway, there we go. We want to belong, don't we? We want to belong. That's a deep need identified by God right from the word go. When he made Adam, he said, it's not good for you to be alone. Of course it's not good for him to be alone. There's cooking and washing and ironing to do. No.
I really am not. The leadership team are petrified that we're going to get sued because of my joking around. Listen, I cook. I can cook an egg in as many different ways as you want that egg cooked. I can fry it, scramble it, boil it, poach it. I can do anything. I'm an egg chef. There we are. Rick Warren makes a great point. Let's get back to the sermon. Rick Warren makes a great point.
He says we're made to belong, not just to believe. And it's the image of the body of Christ from Paul. Remember Paul's image of the body? What a fantastic image that is. This comes from the Message version. In this way, we are like various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way round. The body we're talking about is Christ's body, chosen people. Each of us finds meaning and function as part of that body, but as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? I love that. Bits of the body work together because they're connected, and if they're disconnected, they die.
First symptoms of spiritual decline, says Rick Warren, the first clue that we are disconnecting from God, not going deeper with him, but walking away from him, is usually inconsistent attendance at worship services.
or other church gatherings, not going along to the home group, not making the time and effort to go along and be a part of the church's activities, not coming to church on a Sunday. Busyness overcomes us, doesn't it? And we put our energies into other things, but Jesus said this, I will build my church and the powers of hell will not destroy it. Church is the most powerful thing in the world. Jesus thinks so anyway. It's indestructible, it's going to last for eternity. Everybody needs a church, don't they? And God wants us not just to go to church, but to belong to church. To be a working bodily part within that church. To join with others and to change the world. Can't do that on our own. But we can do it if we work together. Church is a place to belong. Number two, church is a place to serve. Your church needs you. God has a special plan for you because of who you are, because of the gifts that you bring, because of the passions in your heart, because of the way you think or how you do things. God wants you to be a part, an active part. I love that picture of the Acts 2 church, the model of church that I want to lead and am now beginning to lead. We really are getting there. And if we go through it, we see that we're called to learn together and have fellowship together and take communion together and give towards the church's mission together and worship. Loads of great things. But at the bottom of it, it says that that church found the favour of all the people. It means all the people out there. Because they were working together, serving the people out there. Helping families, nurturing children, feeding the hungry, visiting the elderly. Folks, here's the thing. I'm good at some things, but I'm not good at everything. I can bring vision and drive. I love leading leaders' meetings and mentoring and teaching, and I quite like preaching and all that. But there's lots of things that I can't do. Just ask the staff team. Admin, paperwork, timekeeping. I can't do it. I need other people to do it for me. As church, no one person has all the gifts. That's not what God wants. We're a huge jigsaw piece. And if ever you've done a jigsaw, what happens when you get to the end of the jigsaw? There's one missing. It's a nightmare, isn't it? Because it's not complete. It's the same with church. We're each of us a valued part of a jigsaw puzzle here in St. Chad's Church. Every one of us fits perfectly, and if someone is missing, then we fail to operate effectively. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. A place to belong, a place to serve. And then lastly, a place to grow. Church is a place for us to be changed, to be challenged, to become the people that God wants us to be. Away from the Holy Spirit, we can never achieve that. Away from others who, like us, are struggling to find out who God is, to find out what the Bible means, to learn how to pray, to learn how to worship together. If we haven't got that going on, then we'll never be rounded. We'll only ever be isolated. We need iron sharpening iron in fellowship and home groups and chats around coffee shop and in churches and many other places. I love worshipping on my own. But the hairs on the back of my neck only stand out when I'm worshipping in a massive crowd. And our song is being lifted to join the song of heaven. I love coming and worshipping in here. Because it's different to when I'm worshipping at home on my own in the lounge. Because this is together, this is what God has ordained. No part of our disciple journey is whole if it's done alone. And our disciple journey, of course, is supposed to grow towards Christ every day. That's the call. Come follow me, he said. Come follow me. Come learn from me. Come be with me. Come and be changed from glory into even greater glory. Church, as Bill Hybels says, I haven't quoted him for a week or two. Church, and he means local church, he means this church. Church, as Bill Hybels said, is the hope of the world. The hope of the world. Do you know why? Because you're in it. And you're gifted by God for his purposes. Folks, we're made for church, not the other way around. We're called by God to come together regularly, to learn to be his body of believers, to learn to be his family. in an unbelieving world. And my challenge is to us across 2017, can we be there? Can we deepen our love this year for God and for each other? Can we come along to the activities of the church? Can we give our gift, whatever that is, our passion, our experience, whatever it is, can we give it into the work of the church? Can we give it to God? Can we offer it up? And can we say to him, come, because you make us a family in your name who's going to reign in heaven, we freely and freely give our gifts to you. Let's be that church this year in 2017, more and more. Amen. Amen.